everyone, and welcome back to the Unwrapped podcast. I'm your host, Emily Vogel, and I am, of course, here with the amazing Andy Ortiz. We are so excited to be back after a bit of a hiatus. So much to catch up on. Andy, how are you doing?
Dude, I'm tired. I'm on my second round of COVID. I just found out. I am asymptomatic, thank God, but I'm happy to be back and I'm happy to be chatting with you. There's a lot to talk about. We have a lot to catch up on.
So much to catch up on. You are obviously also catching us during such an exciting time, which is our favorite season, award season. From the Emmys to the Golden Globes to the Grammys, the upcoming Oscars, women are dominating in so many different areas. And Andy, I mean, what's been your take on this year's award season?
I've been really, really enjoying it. We kind of knew Barbie was going to sweep, but like, I'm still excited to see it anyway. I was most excited to see America Ferrera pick up an Oscar nomination for Best Supporting Actress. This is where I show my bias. She's the one that I was really hoping most would get one because she so deserves it. She's incredible and she's been incredible for years, and she did. And then I actually got to talk to her on the morning she got her award nomination, which was a really, really cool conversation to have. Like, that's a pivotal moment in her life, and I get to be just like part of that in a very small way, which is odd for me. But that's in our awards magazine, which is out now, and you can check out that story because she's lovely. But Barbie, I'm excited about Barbie. That's the short answer to your question.
I'm so excited about Barbie. Obviously, a little tear in my eye that Greta was not nominated for Best Director and Margot was not nominated for Best Actress. But I am so happy for everyone else who's nominated. And the Academy came out with, you know, a really fun promo commercial with Jimmy Kimmel, who's hosting it, and Kate McKinnon and Ryan Gosling and America Ferrera. So definitely check that out if you haven't already. In addition, of course, to Andy's interview with America. And then also, too, it's really fun with the music. I mean, it's awesome and really fun to see like Billie Eilish and Dua Lipa and people who you would traditionally see in the music space, you know, coming over to the film space and being at these award shows as well.
Let me get your Oscar prediction right now. I think she's got it locked up. I really want to know if you agree. Billie Eilish for best song for What Was I Made For? Like, do you think it's a shoe-in? I feel like that's 100% she's going to get it.
I think so, too. And we also just did an awards screening series with Billy, with Phineas. America was there as well. So be sure to check that out, too. Also, other women who are breaking barriers this year in award season, Lily Gladstone, paving the way for Indigenous women. She is so incredible. Anytime I hear her accept awards, I'm so inspired. Celine Song is killing it. She's the writer and director of Past Lives, which has been nominated for so many awards. And this is actually her first feature film, which is crazy. Yeah. Because she is just sweeping.
Speaking of first, though, I want to add on. So Greta, we talked about her getting snubbed a little bit, which I agree, tear in my eye for it, but so stoked for Celine Song. But Greta also, in her first three solo directorial films, all got nominated for Best Picture. So like, women are crushing it. Shocker. Who's surprised? Not anyone paying attention.
Women are crushing it. Justine Trier is another one for Anatomy of a Fall that has 5 Oscar nominations. And then also on the TV side, because a lot of these award shows do feature TV or just TV if it's the Emmys, Ayo Dabiri. She is just crushing it. Also on the red carpet, her looks have been flawless.
She's about to be back in my town. The Bear season 3 is about to start shooting, and they shoot in Chicago. So I might go into the city and just see if I can walk around and spot Ayo anywhere and be like, hey, let's be
please
friends.
Please post all of that footage. I'm so excited for that.
Absolutely. Ayo, if you're listening, I promise not to actually stalk you. I'm weird, but I'm not that intense.
Don't worry. Okay, so obviously award season, so exciting. One of our favorite seasons, too, is the season of love. Last weekend was Valentine's Day. I mean, I'm very single, but I still love to get together and celebrate Valentine's Day.
Did you do a Galentine's Day thing?
I did. We did have a Galentine's, but then Valentine's Day itself, I ordered Thai food and watched Upgraded. We'll get into that a little bit more. But Andy, what about you? What did you do for Valentine's?
Same thing. I sat home alone and I ate some food and I watched some movies. I went for more classic rom-coms on actual Valentine's Day, but Upgraded as well. Incredible. And I'm honestly, I want to get into it now, Emily, because I'm a little bit upset with you. You had to do this interview without me. Our first one back and you split us up. And by you, I definitely mean me, because I was certainly the one that was unavailable this day.
I know. So for our, you know, first episode back, I had the opportunity to chat with Camila Mendez, the star and executive producer on Upgraded, an amazing new rom-com. It scored super high on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, it's such a great classic film on Amazon. Be sure to check it out. But I had so much fun chatting with Camila. We got to talk about the film, her work behind the scenes, and then also we were able to get into a lot of mental health things and kind of dive deeper into her journey, especially post-Riverdale. Let's get into things.
Yeah, dude, I'm ready. Stop teasing now. I want to hear it. Let's go. Let's play it.
Roll it. Hi, Camila. Welcome to the Raps Unwrapped podcast.
Hi.
How are you genuinely? I mean, the world is always crazy. So checking in, how are you?
I'm good. You know, I'm just out here promoting my movie and doing some interviews, and I'm having a great time.
Amazing. Well, I loved the movie so much, and I'm manifesting all of this energy because I'm heading to the Bahamas tomorrow with my family. So I'm like manifesting an upgrade. I am manifesting meeting a guy at the airport.
I wish all of that for you.
I'll let you know how it goes. But I mean, have you ever had like an actual holiday romance or any tips I should have going into things?
I can't say that I've had a holiday romance. Not that comes to mind, at least. But I have met people on planes and had really great conversations. So, you know, if you see a cute guy, strike up a conversation, see what happens.
Okay, perfect. Because usually it's just like me next to babies. So I'll I'll work on, you know, finding a cute guy to sit next to. So speaking of, you know, traveling abroad, obviously you go to London in the film, but you have a lot of experience being abroad and traveling abroad. I know you went to like an American school in Brazil.
Uh-huh.
I went to an American school in Shanghai. So I got that connection going on.
Wow.
But I'm curious, you know, with that experience, with your travel, with having relatives overseas, how has that shaped your worldview, especially going into projects where you are, you know, working in a foreign country?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I necessarily know the direct reason, but I'm sure there is, you know, there's a lot of value in that. I'm sure it teaches you something. I feel very lucky that, you know, when I was younger, my dad took me and my sister and my mom traveling a lot. Like, he would always plan these trips for us. So I got to go to Europe a few times as a kid and have been to Brazil a lot. Like, once a year I would go there, and then I actually lived there for a year. I think it just gives you a nice like world view of things, and I feel like you're more appreciative of the fact that like, oh, everyone lives lives differently, and there's no way of living life that's better or worse. It's all just relative.
Now, again, kind of going back in this whole travel topic and theme, I know also in the past you've been, you know, very open about your mental health and your struggles with that and your eating disorder. I, too, have struggled with mental health my whole life, with an eating disorder my whole life. And I feel like a lot of times, you know, I'll have everything kind of in check, and then I'll go and I'll travel and everything kind of goes, you know, awry. How are you able to, you know, keep in check with yourself, with your mental health when, you know, you're not at home, when you are traveling?
That's a really good question. I love this conversation already.
Oh, amazing.
Because I relate to that, what you said, so much. And whenever I travel, I always get a little sad towards the end of the trip. Like, I have a limit to how much I can be away from home. And then I start to get like truly very depressed. Like, I'm like, I don't know if it's anxiety about like, oh, I'm not doing anything. Like, I feel like I'm relaxing too much. I'm missing out on something. I should be doing more. I get that anxiety a lot. But I think a way to keep that all in check is keeping up with the routines that you have back at home and not letting those die down, because I feel like that connects you to your most grounded self. For me, that routine is journaling, because that's the only way I can really, really connect with my inner voice. If I'm not doing that consistently, I really feel the difference. I will neglect myself if I don't force myself to pay attention to what's going on emotionally. I get really wrapped up in other people's lives and focused on work, and I just tune out what's going on with myself internally. So writing everything down is a way for me to like stay in touch.
Yeah, that's super helpful. Kind of, I feel like a lot of times, you know, my brain is kind of just going, and I forget to kind of come back in and check in with myself. And again, kind of like you were saying, especially like after traveling or towards the end of trips, there's that come down, and you know that, you know, there's kind of that sadness that goes, and then I also feel a lot of times, you know, on holiday, I do things where I'm like, it's vacation. I'm going to order the cheeseburger. It's like, I can have a cheeseburger at home too. Like, why does vacation have to be different?
Right. When you're out of your routine, you know, it affects you in ways that you don't even realize, you know, and sometimes all it takes is just like, okay, what do I need on vacation that's going to make me feel better or more at home? Because, you know, when you're out, you're like, when you're out of town, you're like eating different foods and you're like waking up at different times and everything just feels out of whack. Sometimes it's the simplest little changes that make the biggest difference.
Totally. And I think too, like being in the moment, because a lot of times as well, I'll, you know, not be enjoying something because I'll be focused on my body image or I'll be focused on something else. And then it's like, wait, no, I'm here. Like we're going up on this upcoming trip, you know, I'm with my family instead of being so, you know, I'm going to be in a bathing suit. I'm going to be, you know, being, you know, grateful that I'm with my family and trying to check in that way. So I'm definitely going to try to do some journaling. So thank you for that.
Yes, of course.
Now, in the film, I also really related to the character, you know, this 20-something in New York City, single, living on her sister's couch. I just turned 30, but I'm in my 20s, single, in New York City. I'm always at my sister and her boyfriend's place. So I'm curious personally for you, you know, I think you're 29 now, you know?
Yeah, I turned 30 in a few months.
Oh, happy early birthday.
Thank you.
But, you know, being at that stage in your life, being in your late 20s, navigating work, navigating, again, mental health, like what have you learned about yourself throughout this whole, you know, process or, you know, advice for women who are kind of going through similar stages in life?
I'm not trying to make everything sound super happy and perfect, but I genuinely feel very at peace right now. I feel very happy. I feel like I'm so ready for this next chapter of my life. You know, Riverdale ended last year and it was like, that was basically my entire 20s. And from the moment I booked it to literally last year, I was just like so caught up in that life. It's like I didn't have a second to really to think about anything too much. You know, if I wasn't shooting Riverdale, I was like trying to squeeze in another project between seasons because I was so focused on like, you know, making sure I had a career on the other side that was waiting for me, you know, so that Riverdale wasn't the only thing I had in my pocket. So now I finally feel like I'm catching my breath. And it feels very serendipitous that it's lining up with me turning 30 this year and sort of entering this new chapter where I get to, you know, have a little bit more autonomy over my life. I'm really excited for my 30s. I'm excited to like come into myself a bit more.
Yeah, at first I was like, before, you know, always think like 30 is the scary thing. And then it's kind of like, no, you know, now you have newfound knowledge that you've learned in your 20s.
Yeah.
You know, you have more experience in the working world, like you come with all of this new knowledge, so
and you have
I'm
more clarity
excited.
You have more clarity, yeah, on what you want from life and you know, things start to become really real.
I agree. Now I know, again, this is a rom-com, it's Valentine's season. Have you also learned anything, again, now, you know, being 29, any relationship advice, anything, other tips you can, you know, give to our audiences and of course to me as well?
I think like a huge lesson for me is realizing that like relationships, like healthy relationships, should feel really easy, you know, and that doesn't mean that it doesn't come with conflict and that there aren't going to be issues along the way, but it shouldn't be so much work to make a relationship work. And, you know, being a child of divorce, I feel like I, in so many of my past relationships, have always fought really hard to continue on in them, even if things weren't working. I just really wanted to prove that I could make it work. And then, you know, all it takes is meeting one person where you feel like, oh, this is really effortless. Like everything just kind of comes together so organically. It's something I tell my friends all the time. Like I wish that upon them, that they can find that kind of love.
Oh, well, okay. Well, I'm going to be looking for that now when I meet a guy. If it's, you know, not effortless. Bye-bye. Sayonara. Bye,
good.
Felicia. Anyways, enough boy talk. Let's talk about this film. So many amazing women in the film.
Yeah.
And I think it also shows a great insight into, you know, navigating female relationships within the workplace. I mean, there's been this historic idea of, you know, women kind of competing and there can only be one. And we kind of see that with some of Anna's coworkers.
Yeah.
But then we also see this in the movie. And I think more and more now in real life is women who are more experienced in their career, who have established themselves, looking back and reaching and helping people come up.
Exactly.
So for you personally, like, can you talk about, you know, how your experience, you know, with women in the workplace. Do you have, you know, female mentors that you look up to?
I have two answers to this question. One of them is, one of my mentors is Jen Caton Robinson, who directed Do Revenge. She's like somebody I look up to so much, and we have such a strong relationship. And I go to her so often for career advice, and I ask her, you know, do you think I should do this? And you know, she just gives me the best advice, and I'm so grateful to have someone like that in my corner, someone I truly admire and respect. And then the other side of the question, it feels like there's something really strong happening. Right now, there's this group chat that all the Latinx actors in Hollywood are on, and it's just nothing but love and support and people posting and sharing each other's accomplishments and lifting each other up. And Jessica Alba recently threw this like really lovely event at her house and brought all these people together. And I feel very supported through that. I feel like that is, you know, Jessica Alba is doing that. Like, she's literally like reaching out. She's bringing everyone together and, you know, making it clear that we need to band together in order to see change.
I love that so much. Two things. I mean, one, is there a group chat name? Like, I need to know everything about this group chat.
I think there is. I think it's like, I have to check it.
There is. No, but that is so amazing. And I recently was at Sundance, and my favorite activation pop up there is the Latinx House. Even if you don't belong to the community, everyone there is welcome, and you're learning, and they have books out by Latin writers, and
yeah,
it's really cool, you know, a place to educate and come together. And that's so amazing that this group chat, you know, even exists. So
yeah,
I'm like, so
we're a very proud community.
And then also too, with, you know, speaking of, you know, women working with a female director, Carlton Young, I feel like a lot of times when we have conversations in women on our podcast, and we're discussing working with a female director, a lot of times they you know, say it's different, or whether it's, you know, like an action scene and the female director's like, no, wait, you would have a hair tie in this, and maybe a guy wouldn't know that the girl would have a
right.
hair tie. And do you have, like, what do you notice a difference with having, you know, such amazing women, you know, both, you know, behind the scenes, like Carlson?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's an inherent safety in that you feel with other women when you're directed by a woman. You feel like they're looking out for you. Even in, like, I mean, this sounds so silly and trivial, and I hope this doesn't come off the wrong way, but it's like, sometimes it's like, hey, like, straighten out your shirt. You know, it's like they look out for the, like, detail things that, like, if I were to watch back a scene and I'm like, why didn't anyone tell me that I had a hair sticking out of my head? I feel like girls are looking out for each other in that way, where they're just like, they're like, I got you, girl. Like, let me just smooth that out really quick. And I know that sounds like a very superficial thing, but I think there's just like a sense of, like, I'm taking care of you and you're taking care of me when you work with other women.
Also, I love, this is kind of going back, like, onto the on-screen things in the movie, but Anna's best friend in the movie, I love that act. She's amazing. And she's, you know, kind of like hyping her up the whole way through while she's in London, like, you got this, girl. And I love the line. She's like, you got money, you're killing it. Like, you could probably get on Raya.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
So great to see those female relationships. She brings up Raya. Have you been on a dating app?
Yeah, I've been on that one, actually. For a brief moment when I was single, I was on it, and it didn't last long.
How was your experience on it? Okay, so no bueno, no bueno.
I mean, yeah, it's not terrible. I, you know, met some nice people, but at the same time, I'm like, you know, nothing ever came to fruition out of that for me personally. But I'm sure I've met tons of people who have met their significant others that way. So
on Raya, I'm always like, oh, this person seems really interesting. And then it's like not by location. So you're like, oh, cool, they're in Iceland. Like, I don't know when I'm going to go there.
Yeah, but exactly.
We'll see. So with this as well, again, going back to, you know, women on screen behind the scenes, you're also an executive producer on this. And that's exciting to see you, you know, stepping into more roles. Again, as you mentioned, you know, stepping into your 30s, stepping into new roles. Can you talk about your experience as an executive producer on this film? Like, what did that involve?
Yeah, well, you know, when I received the script, I was really interested in doing it, but I definitely had some ideas and thoughts about how I wanted to sort of update the dialogue. And my whole thing was like, I was like, okay, I do want to be in this, but I also need to executive produce it if I do, because I want to have a voice in this. I want to have a say, and I want to feel like it's okay for me to have a voice. You know, obviously as an actor, you're not always allotted that privilege. Like, you don't always get to make those creative decisions. So I really wanted to ensure that I would. So executive producing for me started off as a protective measure for my acting. You know, like I want to make sure that I have control over my character's arc and her journey and that I am protecting myself and my performance. And, you know, I can be involved in the editing process. It all sounds really appealing to me. But it grew and it evolved to be such a bigger thing for me. Like it has, you know, very little to do with me protecting myself as an actor and way more to do with the fact that I just like truly love it so much. You know, I got to develop the script, not just my character, but everyone's character. I got to be involved in the casting process. I got to, you know, see every cut of this film and give notes on it and be along that ride. And it's really amazing. I fought really hard for certain things, for certain choices in the film. And it's so crazy. You know, last night we had our premiere. Like, I get to watch those choices play out on screen and hear the laugh that I feel like in some way I earned through the edit or whatever. And, you know, obviously it's a collaborative effort. I'm not trying to take credit for all of it. Carlson's a brilliant director and I owe a lot of it to her. But I feel like I've fallen in love with executive producing, and I want to keep doing it.
That's amazing. I'm like getting chills too. Like I can feel your love through the screen.
Oh, good.
No, that is really so exciting. And I think a lot of times too, you know, it'll just be like a title that like, oh, we'll throw on, but being involved in it is just, you can, that's amazing to hear you really talk about your passion.
Yeah. And it's given me a whole new perspective on acting. Like now I know what goes on behind the scenes more than I ever have. I have a really full picture of what it is to make a movie.
Yeah, I think, yeah, like, yeah, when you're in the acting mode, you can realize all of these other aspects that you probably maybe didn't realize before or anything, which is really exciting. Now, one of our other podcast guests was similar, doing the same thing as Friends With You, Lily Reinhart. And we also had a really, you know, in-depth conversation about mental health, about our struggles with eating. And I know she recently publicly was, you know, announced that she was having a hard time and is diagnosed with alopecia. Have you, you know, and female friendships are, again, are so important. You know, have you spoken to her?
Haven't directly, but I have spoken to her a lot since then. I guess we just haven't spoken about that one thing specifically. I also have alopecia, so I relate very hard to her. During COVID, when we were shooting Riverdale in Vancouver, I lost like a huge chunk of hair and it was like traumatizing. I like came out of the shower and just was missing a chunk of hair, like right in my center part. And it was like, it was awful. I was like so terrified. I'm like, what is happening to me? And, you know, it was a stress response. I was very stressed at the time and very overwhelmed with everything happening. And yeah, it's not easy.
Thank you for sharing that. And then just one quick wrap up question to leave us on a note. It spoke about empowering women, empowering the Latina community. What advice do you have for young Latina women in Hollywood?
I'd say my best advice kind of goes off of what I was saying before, like stick together and look out for each other, because there is room for everyone at the top if we make room.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much. And hopefully we'll see you soon.
Thank you so much. It was so lovely talking to you, truly.
Emily, I'm so proud of you. I always get really sad when you do interviews without me, but you do always crush it. And I'm glad that you were able to get Camila for our first episode. Back. Important question for you though. Does it feel to you like rom-coms are like back? Because we have upgraded and this is coming after Anyone But You, which was Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell. If you haven't listened to Sydney Sweeney on the podcast, we've had her. She's lovely. Go back and listen to it. Is it happening? Is this resurgence? Like, is it real?
I think so. Obviously, I loved the film. I loved talking to her about it. You could probably tell by how fast I was talking. I was just so excited to get to talk to her about it. I think rom-coms are back. And it has been a really long time since I've seen, you know, a really good rom-com that I'm excited to watch over and over and over again. I think they're back, baby.
I think so, too. Anyone But You made so much money. I think over $150 million, like, at this point. If this is where we're headed for 2024, because Strikes pushed a lot back, and they pushed back a lot of the tentpoles, a lot of, like, the superhero stuff. So if rom-coms are the mood for the next, like, year or so, I'm not mad about it. Like, I'm really genuinely okay with this. I would love for this to be the trend.
We're here for it. We're here for it. I think it's also going to help me get in the mood to help manifest a boyfriend. Obviously, in the episode, I discuss you know, going to the Bahamas and manifesting meeting a guy on the airplane and being upgraded. I was not upgraded and I did not meet a boy, but I think that there's still hope as I continue to manifest via watching amazing rom-coms.
I was going to say, you got so many more flights in your life. Like I feel like this can still happen for you. I really do.
There's going to be no more of this catch flights, not feelings. There's going to be flights and feelings from now on.
You heard it here. I support you. Let's go, Emily. I look forward to it. But also, you have to let me vet the guy. Because if you meet a man on a plane, I'm not going to lie, I'm going to be immediately a little bit skeptical of it. I'll support you, but I will be skeptical.
I'll let you vet him. I'll let everyone vet him. But in the meantime, thank you all so much for joining us. Again, be sure to check out Andy's amazing awards coverage in our awards magazine. Check out thewrap.com to continue following more awards coverage or just all the coverage in general.
Check out The Wrap's YouTube page to see all of the awards screenings that we've done as well. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off.
No worries. Thank you. We just complete each other's sentences. Be sure to check us out on Instagram at WrapWomen, at The Wrap. Find Andy and I online. I'm at Instagram at Emily Vogel, please. And then Andy, I'll let you.
Yeah, I'm at really underscore Andy. I couldn't get really Andy. So really underscore Andy. And it is Andy with an I.
Thank you. See you next time.
Bye, guys.